Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Shalia M. Harden, and in this show, we are going to discuss an overview of the improved phase of the Six Sigma Green Belt Training Course. But before we get started, to learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my profile at GoGo.com. And if at any time you have questions or comments regarding the content of this show, please use the question and comment box located in the lower right-hand corner of the homepage of GoGo.com. It is suggested that you submit questions as they occur, then click Submit. Your questions will be answered and posted to the GoGo.com homepage website. Now let's begin. In the previous shows, we discussed the fundamentals of Six Sigma. We reviewed the following three questions. What is Six Sigma? How does it work? And what is the benefit to me, or why should I learn it? In regards to the first question, what is Six Sigma? We learned that Six Sigma was a methodology, or a mindset, for how to logically go about solving a problem. We also learned that it was a systematic approach for reducing defects, as well as a set of tools for analyzing data. And lastly, a measurement-based strategy to achieve a level of Six Sigma in value, which means a process that produces less than 3.4 defects or errors per 1 million opportunities available for a defect or error to occur. Now let's look at the second question. How does it work? Six Sigma tools and methodology is deployed through two sub-methodologies. The first is called DMAIC, which stands for Define, Measure, Analyze, Improve, and Control. And it is used for addressing problems with existing products and our processes, seeking to reduce variation and incrementally improve. The second methodology is called DFSS, and it stands for Design for Six Sigma. It is used for developing a new product or process from a concept phase to commercialization. We will focus our discussion to the Six Sigma DMAIC process, which is used in the Six Sigma Green Belt Training course. As mentioned, the Six Sigma DMAIC process is used for reducing variation and incrementally improving product and processes. We will defer the DFS system for a later show. As mentioned, the DMAIC system, there are five phases for implementing the Six Sigma tools and methodology. They are the Define phase, the Measure phase, the Analyze phase, the Improve phase, and the Control phase. In this series of broadcasts, we will discuss each one of the phases in more detail. But for now, let's cover the last question. What is the benefit of using Six Sigma? Six Sigma has become the new standards of excellence and arguably the most important management strategy of the 21st century. Whether you are in the healthcare, IT, finance, manufacturing, or the government, Six Sigma certifications are becoming the expectation in the business world. Currently, over two-thirds of all Fortune 500 companies employ Six Sigma professionals to help them in identifying and reducing defects, to improve quality, as well as streamline cycle time, and eliminate non-value-added activities to reduce costs and yield higher profit margins. Simply put, a Six Sigma certification increases your marketability and potentially increases your salary or market worth. In this series of radio shows, we have begun reviewing each phase of the Six Sigma DMAIC process. In the previous three shows, We discussed the first three phases known as the find phase, the measure phase, and the analyze phase. Now before we begin the improvement phase, I think it's only right that we go back and we review the first three phases. The define phase is the first phase of the DMAIC model. The purpose of the define phase is to refine your understanding of the problem to be addressed. In this phase of the course, you will define what is needed for a successful Six Sigma project. This includes identifying the customer, identifying the customer needs, establishing goals of the project, as well as scoping the project. In the define phase, there are five steps or modules of what they consider elements. Those five steps or elements are defining the problem statement, which helps you to identify the problem to be addressed. Define the process map, which helps you to identify the boundaries of the process that will be assessed. Define the voice of the customer to CTQ, also known as the acronym VOC to CTQ. You clearly understand what is expected from the customer's point of view and what is critical to quality, which we consider the CTQ. In the fourth step or element called define the project scope, you will continue to narrow the boundaries within your team's control of the process variables you will study. You will begin to identify the input variables, which are the X's, and the output variables, which are the Y's, and this is the expectations of the customer. And then in the fifth and final step or element of the define phase, you will define a project charter. The project charter is used to document the activities as they are completed. Thus, the define phase begins with a definition of problem. It ends with a completion of a project charter. It is very critical, though, in the define phase that you get this particular section right, because again, without a well-defined project, you will struggle in subsequent phases. One of the main features of the entire Six Sigma process is that it is data-driven. Decisions are not made on the basis of intuition. In the measure phase, it will detail how to discover fundamental data about the process or product being investigated. In the measure phase, we determine what we want to know about the process. We identify key measures based on the voice of the customer, and we collect data and calculate the process capability for the baseline data. There are six steps or elements that make up the measure phase. In the previous shows, we discussed each one of these steps in more detail. They are as follows. The first step is identifying measurement and variation. In this particular step, we utilize measurement as the application of metrics to determine the performance of our processes. We understand that variation exists naturally in any process and is the reason Six Sigma projects are undertaken. In the next step or element called determine the data type, we understand that there are certain types of data which is used for Six Sigma projects. That type of data is quantitative data and not qualitative data. In quantitative data, there are two types of data that we use. Those are attribute, which is generally two limits, an is not, it is either or not, or reject or acceptable type of data. And then the other is variable data, which is continuous and discrete data. We use both those type of data only in terms of using for our projects, because as mentioned, Six Sigma is data driven. We cannot use data like good or bad, which just qualifies it, but doesn't quantify in terms of defining the magnitude of the problem. The third step of or element of the measure phase is developing data collection plans. From time to time, you will find that you do not have enough data available to actually go and solve the problem. Many times I challenge my students to say, if we had enough data already, then most likely the problem would already be resolved. But in most cases, the data doesn't exist. And this is the place where you actually go and identify what additional data is needed. You look at what exists and what does not exist. And then you have to determine the plan in terms of how you actually are going to collect the additional data. When are you going to collect it? How much are you going to collect? Who's going to collect it for you? And how is it going to be collected? Once you have together exactly your plan for collecting more data, then you would move into the fourth step or element, which is performing a measurement system analysis. Before any data is collected, you must prove the accuracy of your measurement device. As I tell many people, this is where your credibility is at stake, and you have to make sure that the data that you're collecting, there's integrity in the data. And so this is all about understanding, is the measurement system accurate and giving you a true value? Once this is established in the fourth step or element, is then and only then can you move to the fifth step or element, which is collecting data and assessing the capability. In the measure module of this particular course, we learned that there are two different types of ways in which to actually establish your baseline capability. If you have attribute data, we learned that you can use the defects per million opportunity, where you're looking at the number of defects that are available or opportunities for defects to occur within your particular process. The other way is the standard way of using a CPK or a PPK value. We looked at both the potential capability and the actual capability. Once a baseline is established, then you would move into the last step. And the last step or element is completing the FEMA. In completing the FEMA, you will assess the severity, the occurrence, and the detection of your particular failure mode. The third phase of the DMAIC model is the analyze phase. The purpose of the analyze phase was to allow you to target improvement opportunities by taking a closer look at the data. In the analyze phase, we actually take the data that was collected in the measure phase and begin to analyze it using two different types of methods. The first method was the process analysis method, and this is the first step or element of the analyze phase. In the process analysis method, we will actually walk the process and begin to develop a process map where we can then look at bottlenecks, disconnects. We can look at value added time, cycle time, non-value added time, or waste in order to try to streamline the process. The other way in which we can analyze the data is what we call a graphical analysis method. In a graphical analysis method, we use various graphical tools like Pareto charts, histograms, cause and effect diagrams, box plots, scatter diagrams, or trend run charts to be able to determine or analyze what is potentially the source of the variation. Once these type of tools are used, we then could move into the final step or element of the analyze phase, and that is identifying the source of variation. In this last and final step of the analyze phase, you actually will take a closer look at the data to identify the root cause or the primary source of the variation. Only then can you proceed into the final phase in which we're going to do more detail in, and that is the improve phase. At this point in the DMAIC process, I truly believe this is where the actual problem ends and solving begins. The purpose of the improve phase is to allow you to develop, implement, and validate improvement ideals that will achieve the desired performance level as defined by the CTQ, or the customer's objectives. In the improve phase, there are six steps or elements in which we will cover. The first step or element is called generate improvement alternatives. In generating improvement alternatives or ideals, there are two different types of tools or methods that we discussed. We will explore what we call brainstorming and how to actually come up with the best idea from a brainstorming type activity. The other method for generating improvement ideals is through design of experiments. While there's various times within the process you can use design of experiments, in this particular case, we will use it to optimize, to begin to look at ways to optimize the concurrent condition to make it better, to improve it into a better situation. Once we have narrowed down the improvement ideal that we would like to proceed to implement, the student only then will begin to assess the ideal in terms of number one. This is the second step, looking at the improvement phase FEMA. And looking at the improvement phase FEMA, we will then go back and reevaluate if we were to implement this particular ideal, what would be able to improve the occurrence or decrease the occurrence of this particular failure mode occurring, as well as will we be able to improve our ability to detect it. Many times you can't change the severity rate of it, but you definitely can improve the numbers in terms of the occurrence or the detection. Once you've done that, then we'd move into the third step or element of the improvement phase, and this is performing a cost versus benefit analysis. In performing a cost versus benefit analysis, you will compare to make sure that the cost to implement this ideal does not overrule or be more than the benefits you're going to achieve from the ideal. So you will assess again the cost of implementation to the percent or performance benefits you're going to get from this particular ideal. Once you've assessed and made sure that you're going to get more benefit out of it than it costs to implement, then you would create what we call a future state process map. This will become your guide or your vision to show everyone the map of how you want your process, your ideal implemented. It is very good to be used as a training guide as you begin to try to show people, especially the operators of the process, of exactly how you want it to be implemented and what a success looks like. So once you've created your future state process map, then and only then can you move into actually implementing it. And in the fifth phase or step of the improvement phase, you will actually pilot your ideal. A pilot is trying your ideal out on a smaller scale. You do this for the fact that you don't want to actually change all tools over or to spend a lot of money until you're actually able to prove out that the ideal actually will work. And so you run a very small trial or pilot of your ideal. In this pilot, you will collect what we call after data. You'll have your before data that you collected in the measure phase, and you will collect your after data after you implement your particular ideal. You will compare the two to see if you actually did make an improvement. And in comparing to make sure that you've made an improvement, you then would actually go back and recalculate the process capability. Now, the ways in which we can calculate process capability, we have already discussed in the measure phase. If you have attribute data, you can use the defects per million opportunity. If you have variable data, you will calculate the CPK or the PPK for the new process. When this is done, you will do the final step, and that is validating your improvement. You will compare again the before and after data to actually validate to ensure that the improvement is actually good. And then only then can you move into the control phase, which we will talk about in our next show in terms of how do you sustain the gain to continue to implement or sustain your improvement ideal. This concludes our show for today. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box located in the lower right-hand corner of the homepage of gogo.com. If at any time you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the Gogo Radio Archive for Shalia M. Hardin. And if there's any show you would like me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to Gogo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com.